Well, good morning, Harbor, and happy Easter to all of you. Man, I've so been looking forward to today, to Easter this year. And not just because my wife still buys me Peeps every Easter, but because we need the new life that comes with Easter. Am I right? So to get started this morning, I want to introduce you to Laverne Wimberly. She is an 82-year-old from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I saw her story on the news this week, you may have as well, about how she dresses up. She gets dressed up every week for church, even during the pandemic. This is how she dresses every week at Metropolitan Baptist Church's Zoom services. Isn't that awesome? I mean, she's showing everybody up, but it's awesome. She said, in the 20 years I've been going to church, I've always had my little routine that I learned from my mother as a little girl. I'd pick out a nice outfit and a hat, and I'd lay it out the night before so that I could be prepared and look presentable. This year, I didn't want to sit around alone and feel sorry for myself. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to dress up anyway. And apparently when she posted some of these photos, or somebody else did, she said that everyone told her that it boosted their spirits. Don't you love Laverne? Despite the year that she and we have all had, she don't care. She's getting dressed up because that's just what her faith inspires and compels her to do. Listen, I know that this has been a tough year for all of us. We can hear it, even as Danielle hosted for us. Some of those emotions are even close to the surface for many of us. And for some of us, it's not just because the pandemic has made it tough. Many of us have experienced uncertainty in our relationships or at our jobs or with our health. No matter what is going on for you, I'm glad that you're here. And I'm glad that we can spend some time celebrating the beauty of Jesus' resurrection together. Because that's what our faith would have us do. So if you've not been here for any of this series, here's what we're doing. We're taking a look at the seven different I am statements of Jesus that show up in John's gospel. Jesus says things like, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. But remember, there are also seven major miracles that he does before his own resurrection, turning the water into wine, feeding the 5,000, walking on the water. Now, the miracles and the I am statements don't line up exactly. In fact, the miracles start before Jesus' statements, but every once in a while, they do line up. Jesus gives his fifth I am statement, the one that we're going to talk about today, during his last miracle when he brings his friend Lazarus back from the dead. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's jump in. John chapter 11, Mary and Martha send word to Jesus that their brother and Jesus' close friend Lazarus was very sick. Here's what it says in verse 5. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews that were tried to stone you, and yet you're going to go back? It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus waited. He got the news and he waited. We know that Jesus could have feared for his life, but that wasn't what made him wait. The purpose in waiting, Jesus says, is so that God and his son would get the glory. And not even the danger that he would face would keep him and the disciples from going back. Let's pick it up again in verse 16. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, well, let us go too, that we may die with him. There are different ways that people react to pain, difficult circumstances, and death. Thomas represents one of those ways, defeat. When tough times come, especially when they've hit us repeatedly, we feel like giving up. We might say to ourselves, I hate this job. Nothing can fix this marriage. Or I don't know what we're going to do with all of this debt. it's not difficult to feel defeated, is it? But there's another way that we often deal with pain. When Jesus finally arrives on the scene, 4 days after Lazarus' death, Martha and Mary are both crushed by their brother's death. But Martha takes it one step farther. She says this in verse 21. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died." Martha's initial response to pain and tragedy here sound along the lines of bitterness. So you've got defeat, but you've also got bitterness. When God doesn't act the way that we want, bitterness is often what we feel. Author and pastor Greg Matt, in his book called I Am, says, "In our sinful nature, perhaps the most natural reaction is bitterness. The news of an illness or even the passing of a loved one can birth strong bitterness towards the Lord, shaking your fist at God. You find it hard to believe that he who claims to be good would allow such pain." So defeat and bitterness are often what many of us experience, but it's not where we're supposed to end up. Brokenness is the place where God begins to stretch and grow our faith. Brokenness is that place where our energy is depleted. Brokenness is where we have no other choice but to call on God. It was in Martha's brokenness that she said these words to Jesus. "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus' response was, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." So that's the I am statement that we want to talk about today. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," in John chapter 11. So here Jesus is at a funeral. Well, with all of this death, all of this mourning, all of this brokenness around him. And he does something remarkably human. In verse 33, it says, "When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping," this funeral procession, "he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied." And then we get those famous words, right? "Jesus wept." When I was growing up, you'd get points and prizes for memorizing verses in Sunday school or VBS during the summers. And you, as a kid, would get that sheet with all those verses that you needed to memorize, right? And you would skim the whole thing real quick. And you knew when you saw John 11:35 on that list, you'd get excited, because it was like the free square in bingo. Like, you didn't even have to memorize it. I mean, or if you did, you memorized it from last year, you still had it. I mean, it was two words. How hard could that be? It was a total freebie. So why would Jesus burst into tears knowing that the source of the tragedy, Lazarus' death, would soon be reversed? I think the reason why is because Jesus feels our pain. And he enters into our pain. But he doesn't just stop there. Jesus also does something about the pain and the brokenness that we experience and feel. Let's watch in verse 38. "Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. 'Take away the stone,' he said. 'But Lord,' said Martha, the sister of the dead man, 'by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. By the way, the King James Version, this is total just footnote, but the King James Version records that he stinketh. So share that with your kids, I guess. "Then Jesus said, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' Now, Jesus doesn't do a lot of things in a loud voice. So anytime that he does, we should pay attention. Verse 44, the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Think about what happened that day down in the tomb of Lazarus. Those words from the voice of Jesus start bouncing around, echoing off the walls of that tomb. And the ears of Lazarus that hadn't heard a thing for 4 days, but they heard that. And those lungs that hadn't been breathing for 4 days, all of a sudden, begin to move. That heart that hadn't beat for 4 days started beating. The resurrection and the life said, Lazarus, come out. And a dead man came back to life. You know, in Jesus' day, the Jews didn't think of resurrection the way that we do now. I mean, they believed in it theologically, but it was something that would happen, or that was supposed to happen at the end of all history for those Jews who lived by faith. So imagine their surprise when the resurrection happens right in front of them. One side note, another side note is that resurrection, though miraculous, it had happened before. As you read the scriptures, in fact, some of our Old Testament I Am readings from this last week, a couple of Old Testament stories of famous prophets named Elijah and Elisha, each raised a person from the dead. So Jesus could bring someone back from the dead. Wouldn't have been unheard of if he was a special prophet. Or perhaps if he was someone else very special sent from God, like the Messiah. Or if he was something more. Remember, John's gospel is in the process of answering that question, who is Jesus for his readers? And it's like a big piece of the puzzle is coming together for anyone who's trying to answer that question. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. We don't have the whole picture yet, but we've just gotten a large piece of that puzzle. And then he raises Lazarus from the dead, right? I think this particular statement was unique because it wasn't just pointing to an Old Testament story. It wasn't just pointing to something that had happened in the past, like bread from heaven in the Exodus, and then Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Or all of those Old Testament scriptures that we get about shepherds and gates and how those are applied to God, and then Jesus says, I'm the gate, or I am the good shepherd. It's not just something that is connected to their story in the past. It was also pointing forward to something, foreshadowing something that was to come. It makes this particular I am statement very unique. Jesus emotionally takes on the pain of others like Mary and Martha in John 11, but he also entered into the mess of sin and death on the cross in John 19. And he proves that he truly is the resurrection and the life, not just in his ability to bring one person, Lazarus, back from the dead, but to rise from the dead himself in John chapter 20. From this, I am the resurrection and the life moment in John chapter 11, there is this straight line directly to the cross. Beginning in the next chapter, Jesus shows up in Jerusalem where he would ultimately give his life by the end of the week. Where Jesus would die for the sins of Israel and for the entire world, and where he would rise from the dead to be victorious over death. So what's happening in this thing that we call resurrection? N.T. Wright, one of my favorites, gives a great illustration about resurrection. He says, it's kind of like the movie Back to the Future, one of the best movies of all time, by the way. A high school kid, Marty McFly, travels back in time in a DeLorean when it reaches 88 miles per hour, right? And it has this electrical reaction. Marty meets up with his good friend, Doc Brown, in 1955, the creator of the broken time machine, the DeLorean, just before he invented it. And before he can get home, in a roundabout way, Marty not only changes 1955 or the past for the better. He's making a positive impact on everything into his future. Who knew Back to the Future was a movie about Jesus? Because that's what happens with the resurrection. Jesus came into the middle of history to not only redeem our past, but he's also changing everything about our present and our future too. Jesus' resurrection was a part of God's promised future at the very end, right in the here and now. The resurrection of Jesus means that a new day has dawned, and with it, the reality of God's resurrection life. I think the statement, "I am the resurrection and the life," holds incredible hope for us at Easter, or at least it should. And so again, whatever has you discouraged or frustrated, perhaps shaking your fist at God, we can ask Jesus to enter into our pain and our brokenness. We don't become defeated or bitter, but we do become broken. And when that happens, we ask God to enter into that brokenness and to save us from it. Jesus has entered into our suffering and took it upon himself on the cross. Henry Nouwen has this great quote in the book Wounded Healer. He says this, he says, "Who can save a child from a burning house without taking the risk of being hurt by the flames? Who can listen to a story of loneliness and despair without taking the risk of experiencing similar pains in their own heart and even losing their precious peace of mind? In short, who can take away suffering without entering it?" Jesus entered into all of that brokenness for us, all of our sin, all of our loneliness, all of our despair for us. And he gives us new life and resurrection, not just at the end of time, but in the here and now, which we so desperately need. The Apostle Paul says it this way in the Message version. "Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and that law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are all gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ. Thank God." The same voice that called Lazarus out of the grave calls out to you and me. Calls us out of our sins. "Come out, because I am the resurrection and the life." There's forgiveness, there's wholeness, and there's healing. And resurrection can begin today for anyone who puts their faith in Jesus and the hope of his resurrection. And one more thing, even though Lazarus was now alive, he was still wrapped up in all those dead person's clothes, right? It's kind of interesting what Jesus asked of all the people who were there, right? He asked them to take the grave clothes off. Did you notice that? He could have just included that as a part of his miracle. Wouldn't it have been great if Lazarus came out like in a tuxedo and a top hat and said, "Ta-da"? Okay, maybe that's a little much. But that wasn't part of the miracle, was my point. Lazarus stumbles out in all those grave clothes, and Jesus says to the people around Lazarus, "You get him out of those clothes." See, it's important to know that only God has done his part. Not only has God done his part, but we're called to do our part in bringing life back to people. Harbor, you and I have a part to play in God's promised future. It's so good that we want to get in on the action. So may you and I know this Easter the one who says, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And may we let the great I am change who we are, yes. But may we allow that to be part of what moves us to also help others find resurrection and life as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Jesus, who is the one who says that he is the resurrection and the life. We're thankful that he has entered into our places of brokenness. And Father, we confess that there are times when we have been bitter, when we have been defeated, and that's caused us to act in ways that didn't look much like faith. But we pray that starting today, that each and every day, God, that we would give our brokenness over to you and that you would continue to give us resurrection and new life. We are excited, God, for the possibilities that can come as a result of this resurrection and new life in our lives, in our church, and in our world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.